Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. There is a thing called satellite outage, and we have to play tape programs because it affects the hour we're on. But today we are back live, and joining me, Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard will be joining us also. Alice, you doing all right?
Well, Steve, I got a hug in my pocket. My daughter drew a picture of a hug, my 7-year-old, and slipped it under my office door. So I'm good to go today.
That sounds very nice to have those little hugs slipped under your door. I like that. Well, I want to talk about what's coming up this Saturday, and it is the first time we've ever done an extensive. Many of you know we do the weekends, and everything happens Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For Lose It for Life, we're doing our first 5-week extensive. And Saturday, we'll all be together, but then after that, everything happens on your own. And what's going to happen are individual sessions and group sessions, getting encouragement every single day. It's going to be fantastic. Michelle Spadafora and her team have teamed up with us for Lose It for Life. And you know, when we talk about the it, we're talking about the things that are driving the eating. It really makes all the difference in the world. A lot of people don't do anything because you have some excuses. Now, here's something that people might have said to you all your life. Doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It's only who you are on the inside. That really isn't true, because if people define you a certain way before they ever have a chance to meet you and get to know you, then, you know, you really have a problem. And we don't want that. We call it weightlessness when your weight isn't a factor in your identity. Some people have heard this expression, all I have to do is. There is no all I have to do. There's no simple anything when it comes to weight loss. And you know, the Bible tells us that we need to make our body a living sacrifice. It really is important. It's the temple of God. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been looking for that thing, that way that maybe you would get the last 10 pounds off or 50 pounds, this works. It's not too late to sign up. It's going to happen this Saturday, and it's virtual. You don't have to go anywhere. That's pretty nice. And just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and sign up. It's one of the most rewarding things we do, because so many people have been trapped all their lives.
Jill. Well, and Steve, I'm so glad that you are bringing this back. This is a conference and issues that we have dealt with kind of over the long haul at New Life. And especially, maybe you guys said this, coming out of COVID, I think so many people hit up against themselves and just in that sedentary life. Right? And it's like all you had was food. And so it's time to do something different. And I think people need that extra help to get moving.
It really is. And we talk about the freshman 15 that we often put on when we go off to college. Well, you know, many people have put on the COVID 15. And we can help you.
Or
19, yeah. And we can help you. And we want to help you with that. And it's, we help you do things that you can do for the rest of your life, not just a short length of time so that when you stop, because you can't tolerate it anymore, then you gain all the weight back. Well, if you want to join us on the program, here's the number, 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us this Saturday for Lose It for Life, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But looking forward to talking with you right now, 1-800-229-3000. 1,000. Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here for you. Really excited to get to talk to you and maybe provide some insight you just haven't quite heard before. That's our goal right here.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're going to go right to our phones. 1-800-229-3000. And let's go to Elena, calling from Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. And certainly glad that she's with us today. Hi, how are you today, and how could we help?
Hi, I'm so glad you took my call. Thank you so much. I'm calling for advice or suggestions on how to move out of the, I feel like I'm stuck in the sadness part of grieving. I think that's a facet.
What's the source of the grief?
Stages of grieving.
Well,
most recently, it's my mom. She was in her 90s, so she lived a long life. But I think that it's compounded, especially from previous, because I lost my father when I was four and mm-hmm. passed away, and then my brother passed away when I was 11. And I feel like that's very pivotal as far as kind of just moved into the anger phase through all of my adult life. We weren't allowed to talk about it, or, you know, that was the household. How we dealt with it.
The big
just
secret.
To hide it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, shame, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, and so now that I'm this old and I know that there are healthier ways to process mm-hmm. these things, like loss of a family member, I feel that I've recognized the anger and moved away from it, but maybe I'm kind of floating in the sadness part, and do you have any suggestions, or, you know?
Yeah, one thing I want to tell you is that we have a new workshop that is going to be coming up, and it is called Transforming Grief, and I will just give you a little scholarship right here so that you can be part of that, in addition to whatever else we tell you. Also, one of the great ministries of the world, there's Divorce Care, and they also have Grief Share, and you can find out, or we can tell you how to get in touch with them, because there you're really doing some great work with other people to finish that grieving process. But Alice, let's start with you. What do you think could be helpful here?
Elena, do you sense that that old family rule still holds power over your mind and heart?
I think that I've broken free of that. I think that I recognize that, you know, these things happen in life, and that there's a fairness in what you feel, and that there's nothing wrong with that. So I think I've allowed myself to embrace, you know, the sadness, and to work through the anger, but I want to continue this process into a healthier place.
And have you allowed yourself to show your sadness and anger with other safe people?
I think so. I believe so. I don't have a lot of network, but I'd say two to three at the most safe people. So, you know, one being another sibling, another being an old friend. And then maybe that's it.
The process does always take longer than we want it to. And the years you have lived don't match up to the weight of the emotion that you feel currently. And so although these very significant people passed away, some of them a long time ago, because the rule held sway over you for so long, you're probably only recently starting some of the grieving process, and maybe only the loss with your mother. So I'd ask you to be patient with yourself, as difficult as that is, and to regularly go to those people you identified and the recommendations Steve is making, because we have to weep with loving people over and over again and tell the stories multiple times in order for the heart to begin to feel the relief.
Jill, you have a thought here,
Elena,
that could help her?
Elena, I think you're midstream in your grieving process. And I really like the fact that you're putting together the loss of your father and the loss of your brother. Because with each consecutive loss, we grieve the previous losses. And so it's kind of like a snowball effect that gains momentum.
Yeah.
And I think with your mother, it's like she lifted the taboo, or you lifted the taboo, or the taboo was lifted when she passed away, right? And so now it's all the grief of your entire life that you're having to sit with and to grieve. And when we're in the middle of it, it feels kind of out of control. It feels too much at times. It feels like, oh my gosh, the grief is never going to end. I'll just be crying forever.
Yeah.
That isn't true.
Yeah.
That isn't true. Okay. You won't cry forever. I promise you, you won't. And what Alice said is very true. And so allow the emotions to be there. You were taught to push them away and to not talk. And you know that that wasn't right. So allow the emotion to be there. Let it just wash over you. And sometimes our fear of the emotion and trying to like, oh, I've got to, you know, modulate it somehow, kind of makes it worse, right? It makes it feel like it's bigger than it is, or somehow it's unhealthy or unnatural. No, just the waves of grief, and sometimes you'll be going along, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a wave of grief, and you go, wow, there it is again. Wow, I'm really sad. And you acknowledge it, and you acknowledge it to someone else. And what you start to notice over time is that, you know, first it's like an everyday thing, and then there are periods of time where you actually are surprised that you weren't thinking about it. And over time, as you are kind of, you know, processing and chewing on this and allowing the emotion to be there, slowly the time will get bigger in between those bouts of really intense grief.
I would like to go over all the situations where it's healthy to keep a secret and not talk about things that cause us stress. Okay, that was my list.
Okay.
It just, you know,
I was wondering where you're going with that. We'd be here long.
The psalmist said, in my silence, my bones waxed old. I think that's the King James Version. And over in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins one to another, pray for each other that you might be healed. And your grief isn't a sin, but it's just the concept of openness takes the power out of things. And so I'm glad that you shared with us, but there is a grieving process. And it's not just knowing the stages of grief, it's knowing what to do in those stages. And and I really believe the first is identifying the source of the shame that prevented you from expressing or feeling, sharing the grief, and then starting to forgive the people that caused that secrecy in that shame. And so it's just all part of a progressive healing process that leaves you without bitterness, resentment, and the grief subsiding to where you do notice, as Jill said, you're having more good days than bad days, and because it's just getting better. You're getting better, and that's what we want for you. All right, if you will hold on, I will send you a very special, it's a Life Recovery workbook on grieving. I'll send you the Life Recovery Bible, and I'll send you the workbook that uses the 12 steps to take you through a grieving process. And then, as I mentioned, we have this new workshop on transforming grief. I would imagine I have the date right here. It's May 7th that we're going to be doing that for anybody else that's struggling in that area. I hope you will join us. All right, let's go to, how about we go to Alice from Riverside, California, and she also is a KKLA listener. Hi, Alice. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Certainly. And we'll let Alice be the first to answer your question, Alice. Yeah.
My question to you two is, and forgive me if I seem a little mumbled and jumbled,
okay.
I have a set of friends. My husband died a couple of years ago, and I just was listening to your first caller and resonated a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it resonated for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that they were there at my side with when my husband died, and I thought, you know, I'm adopting them as my brother and sister in the Lord, and we were having okay, we were doing, and I'm still processing and everything, but the whole gist of the idea is that him and his wife on Christmas Eve, and I didn't know, he was so angry, and I felt his anger about something, and when I walked in the front door, I felt a heaviness in their home, and I knew I shouldn't have gone in the first place. I knew it, but I don't have family around to share my life with or my grief or anything, but, you know, I made the best of it, and she said, well, he's mad at me, and I went, well, okay, but, you know, I was caught in the crossfire of their marital problems of being with one another that I found out a week later when I had lunch with her.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, why would you put more grief and pain on me when I'm trying to work through so much? And I'm here, I was there for them, whatever they needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of person I am. And to make the whole long story short is that she went away to her sister's funeral, and I guess he thought that he could prey upon me.
Oh, boy.
And ask me out to lunch, and the other thing, and, oh, gosh.
Did you go?
It's just so daunting.
Did you go?
No, I did not.
Good.
I cut everything off. I didn't answer my door. He went around pounding on my door, calling my name, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what's happening here?
Yeah.
I don't deserve this.
Yeah. So
and
what
anyway,
is what's the question for us then? That's a very, very tough situation you were put in.
How do I do? Because I don't think his wife knows what he has done. Asking me out to lunch, and since she was gone, could I go out to lunch with him, and would I be his Valentine? That sent up a huge red flag to me right there. And he's been a good, well, I'm not going to say, I'm not judging, but a Christian man for over 50 years. Those things in the church.
Okay,
you know, but,
so
you know,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's sad that all this happened in the midst of you growing closer to them and you being there for them, them being there for you. But the closer we get to people, sometimes that old ugly other foot comes forward and you see the reality of their lives. And that's what you did. Now you have a decision to make whether or not to tell her about this. And so I'm just going to ask you, if you were his wife, would you want somebody to tell you what happened?
Yes, I would.
I would
Why
too.
Would
In fact, I would
life?
Be very, very upset if my husband and this other person had a secret that they were keeping from me. And so I want to encourage you at the right time, at the right place, that you share with her what he did and how you responded. Jill,
but
you have
Alice,
a thought here?
Yes, but I would share the behavior. I
yes.
wouldn't draw conclusions
there
about the intent because I think unless you have clear evidence that it was romantic, I mean, clearly it was poor judgment. Clearly it was misguided. And this gentleman felt like you were good friends. And he may have been trying to do something nice for you, but it was in poor judgment, right? And obviously because of your reaction, and it felt uncomfortable.
But notes on my car, and I felt like he was stalking me, and
well,
now he's harassing me.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
So you talk about the notes on your car.
Yeah, you list everything that's concrete behavior.
But you don't say that he was stalking me. You don't. But you can say you felt like you were being stalked but when you stick to the facts, that's the main thing.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Alice. And, you know, I'm just at the break saying how stupid this is to assume that she's not going to tell the wife about mm-hmm. this and all those kinds of things. Alice, before we send Alice, the other Alice, away, give us some insight here, Alice to Alice, okay?
Well, I want to give you some wording. If you haven't yet said this, communicated this to the husband, and I would do so in writing, to let him know I'm not comfortable with unilateral communication from you. So please stop. I don't want to be contacted by you individually. You have to make a clear statement to protect yourself. And if he does still think he's just being friendly and trying to help you, set that clear line.
Yeah. And
right. The couple are your friends. She's your friend, and the couple together are your friends. You and he independently, is what you're saying, Alice, right, are not friends apart from the wife.
There you go. All right. So I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that would be something helpful to you, because it does talk about some situations where people want to control us, but we refuse to be owned by the sickness that they have within them. If you would like a copy of Take Your Life Back, or like the last book I wrote with Dr. Dave Stoop, The Soul of a Hero, you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. How about we go to Denise from Chicago, Illinois. WTRH is the station. Denise, welcome to New Life Live. How are you today?
Thanks. Well, I'm really sad because I was on the phone with my friend about my family. And I want to give you a little background, not much, and then I want to ask you a question, because I am struggling with my sister. And what she doesn't realize is that I listened to your show last week, whenever you've been neglected or rejected by your family.
Yeah.
Well, I was. My father left me at 3. I'm living with my grandmother when I was 3 years old. I was put in foster care from 9 to 18. And my mother became very sick. She couldn't help me. She's a Christian. She loves God. But I was physically, emotionally, and sexually abused in the foster care. And in and out of hospitals, foster homes, you name it, I've been through it. When I moved in with my dad, he went back to drinking. He threw me out. He said, I want nothing to do with you ever again. And he became a drunk again. And they said, you could come back. And I never did. Now, that's just part of my life. And I don't want to get into all the details. But I've been through a lot in my life.
Sounds like it.
My sister now, it has. I mean, I shouldn't even be alive today of all the stuff I've been through, even as an adult. My sister holds it over my head of my past. She says, I needed a sister, and you weren't there. You done this to me. You went to drink. You was on drugs. You drank. You left us. You abandoned us. I struggle with those issues. And I'm trying to build a relationship with my sister. And it's hard whenever you've been traumatized, as you know, if you've been broken, it's hard to help somebody else when you've been broken, and you are broken.
Well, let me ask you this. What about saying to her, you are so right, and I regret it so much. How about we make up for lost time, and let's have the relationship that we both wish we had? Had all through this time. Do you think that might help a little bit if you just said to her, man, I feel so badly that that's how my behavior impacted you?
It may be, Denise, that she needs to be heard for her side of it.
Right.
And you have your own side of pain and your perspective on what happened. But even when we don't mean to leave people, right, you were put into foster care, the people still feel left and abandoned. And mm-hmm. so I think we can hear someone else's perspective and say, wow, I had no idea that that's how it impacted you and that's how you saw it. And once we give them that understanding, then sometimes they're more open to hearing our side of things too. Yeah. And you're not jockeying for who's right. You both are right. You both have a perspective. Mm-hmm. You both have had impact from what happened in life.
So, Denise, you can.
I'm sorry for hurting her. I'm sorry for doing that. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I'm sorry. And I've been off drugs for 30 years now.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome. Well, hold on. Let me send you one of our. Well, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, and then I want to send you this. Also, send this grief workbook that goes with it. Alice, you have a final comment here you wanted to make.
Well, we can always consider: have I not made sufficient amends yet? And we can ask that person who's been hurt by us, what can I do to mm-hmm. make up for it? We also need to consider the other person's brokenness and immaturity that they may be struggling to forgive if we've done everything we can to rectify the situation. And then our work is acceptance of where they are in their own healing process or lack thereof.
Yeah. God's rich in mercy, and He has mercy for us, and many people don't have that same mercy for us. We have to be patient with them. But we also have to listen, as Jill was saying. They want to be heard. And then we have to invite them all over again to have a relationship. Life is hard. And with drugs and alcohol, worse.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I forgot to tell you before the break that Larry Sonnenberg was going to be in the studio, but here he is, and glad that he is. Larry, what do you have for us here today?
Well, you've been talking about it. We got Loser for Life coming up on Saturday.
Yeah. And, pretty exciting.
It's pretty cool, yeah. We had a little too long of a hiatus on that workshop, and we're really happy to be back with it.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we're happy is, this is what a gentleman said when he attended Lose It for Life. I've been racked with conflicting thoughts about my compulsive eating. Similarly, confused about the effectiveness of the Lose It for Life workshop because I knew I was highly resistant. But this weekend has been a game changer. Finally, I have the willingness to do anything to have peace with myself. I gave my desire for comfort to God. In my surrender, I have a victory. I'm leaving the workshop with tools, a support team, joy, and hope. I'll always have the memory of how my group made me feel accepted and appreciated. No, more. They made me feel loved.
Boy, isn't that great? I mean, it's just another example of it doesn't matter what your motive is or where you are emotionally or mentally, just come and we'll help you get through it. You don't have to not come just because you're not fully sure about things. Once you're there, you'll get it.
This was a highly resistant person, so if you think you're highly resistant, you know, think again. Maybe it will make a difference. Just because you're resistant doesn't mean God's Spirit can't break through and make a change.
And no situation is hopeless, and we're really glad that we get to do all this all over again.
The other thing I wanted to say, Steve, is about support for New Life. I just want to encourage people to please, as you are giving money to relief for Ukraine, because I know that's a big deal, and we don't, that's a very, very good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Would never tell people don't do that. But if you can do that in addition to what you're doing the New Life, we would appreciate it. We have felt a slowdown in donations, and we can handle that for a season, but not a long season. So if you can help in any way, thank you. It's deeply appreciated. You're making a difference.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Ukraine, the greatest thing that we can do and we never want to stop doing is praying for not just those people, but the wisdom for our leadership that, you know, the right choices will be made. It's just tragic to see what's happening there. So, yeah, don't stop praying for those wonderful, wonderful folks. Really, really a tragic situation. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you could help us, we would sure, well, we would be so thankful that we would send you a gift. And that gift is right here on my sheet. And I will find what that gift is, our way of saying thank you.
It's a surprise gift.
It's Dr. Daniel Amen's book, Conquering Worry and Anxiety. And so it's just our way of saying we appreciate you very, very much. Anything else you want to say, Larry?
No, just continued thanks. Always a spirit of gratitude for all of you who are giving, so thank you.
Oh, we have such wonderful supporters. So, so grateful to them. All right, let's go back to the calls. And how about we talk with, well, this is Jenna, Scottsdale, Arizona. Jenna, you are on, and I believe that you... you on the internet. That's how you hear us, probably on the website. How's it going? What could we do for you today? How could we help?
Hi, Steve. Hi, guys. So I took grieving into a really bad process, and I ended up, like, taking grieving into a process, and I ended up getting addicted to food and addicted to sugar, and it was because of the loss of my dog January 11th, and I've been, like, gaining a bunch of weight. And I don't know what to do to overcome that because I love food and I have, like, you know, some form of autism and I can't see and I'm hungry all the time. But I want to take it to a level where, you know, I could help myself to lose weight and stuff without exercising because I have an injury. So I don't know how to do that, how to come about with that process.
Yeah. Okay. And where? What kind of injury?
I've had this before, like many times before. Huh?
What kind of injury do you have?
I don't know what kind of I'm not really sure what the injury is. It's some kind of internal injury to my knee, and they haven't, like, really figured out what to do about it yet because, you know, I'm not really sure. But I never, I've always had an addiction to sugar, like, all my life, but now it's, like, getting worse, and I've been up and down with weight. I mean, my 2 years when I lived with my sister, I was, the moon I weighed 126, and now I weigh 140, and my most I've weighed here was 160.
Okay, so here, I hear you, I hear you, and the ultimate answer is for us to give you a scholarship to Lose It for Life this weekend, and we'll do that. The thing about sugar addiction... didn't really understand it until we started doing Lose It for Life, and people would come to me and they would talk about it, and that's when started doing the research and realized it is a real life thing. Some people literally must live on this abstaining diet where sugar is not there because it's just as much an addiction as alcohol is to someone else. We'll help you with that. And, you know, one of the tough things about losing weight is trying to move the parts of the body that work. You know, and trying to figure out how to get some exercise with my arms or twisting my upper body if my knees won't support me. And we're going to talk about that this weekend. But Alice, Jill, when you hear this, what are you thinking that might be helpful?
Well, I have to share because, Jenna, I have been a person that really, really loves sugar. And I have been known, you know, in my younger days to survive on cookie and candy. Cookies and candy. And so...
that's so mean.
Yeah. So recently, when I had COVID, obviously I couldn't leave and I couldn't go to the store. And so my daughter took it upon herself to scratch off everything that I put on the grocery list that she didn't agree with. And my daughter is not a sugar person. So she's like, nope, no cookies, Mom, no candy. And then she, and this was a great gift, she actually cooked for me. And she made me healthy things. And it took, you know, I was housebound for a couple of weeks. But in that time, it helped. When she gave me the good food, it actually started to become satisfying. And I wouldn't have ever thought that, right? Because it's like, no, give me the candy. Give me the cookies. That's my, you know, filler. And so you have to go through a period of time, and it's not easy, where you don't have access to it. And you do have healthier food so that your body can start to realize that that's what it craves instead of the sugar. Okay,
so and we're going to talk to you about having a safe home, which means that when you're hungry, the options there don't include sugar. You fill it with things that are healthy. Should you what?
Right. So well, my other question is, Steve, should I just go ahead and, like, say no thank you, like try to eliminate and just say no thank you to sugar? I mean, I'm not even allowed to have the fake sugars in my coffee or anything else because they're eating my intestines as well.
Obviously,
because of the fake sugars too.
I wouldn't do anything that would cause my intestines to be eaten, that's for sure. So, but here's the thing, it's what you're going to hear is it's not just about what we stop and eliminate. It's what we start. All of us need to be supported. And especially in this area, we need to grow. And so we'll cover all of those things. Alice, you look like your head is turned in a way that says, I want to say something.
It's because I want to talk to Jenna. Because, Jenna, your main focus needs to be relationship. Because that will fuel you to have a stronger no to sugar. And I want you to notice, you went through a range of emotions just in this conversation with us. I've heard tears and I've heard laughter. Because you're confessing to us, you're relating to us, and you're finding out you're not the only one struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And that's God's design to the problems of life. The solution is primarily in relationship. So then once you have relationship, then your no gets stronger. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that body composition change is 90% nutrition. So even if you can't exercise very much, it's 90% nutrition. But through our program, through Michelle Spadafora, you're also going to learn sitting down exercises. And you can just look, you can Google Michelle Spadafora, and she's got a lot of videos available for you to see. So you can get started even before the weekend. She makes it so simple, so easy, and so doable. And it's that combination of ingredients, of healthy ingredients, that will help you truly change your relationship with food.
Well, I hope that's helpful, and I hope that we're going to see you this Saturday. Anybody else, if you're interested in the Lose It for Life extensive, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's going to be a great, great group. You'll be experiencing support. You'll have a Christian counselor to help you with it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I want to remind anybody that if, let's just say, you're addicted to good and plenty and it leaves you feeling bad and empty, we can help you this weekend. 1-800-229-3000. New Life. Let's go to, how about Ann? I'm sorry, you guys are cracking up over there. Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi there. How are you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've called you guys in the past. I followed through on a lot of previous advice given. I'm still really struggling, particularly with weight, relate to the previous caller. It's getting to a really scary level. I have done counseling for a couple of years. I've done an outpatient eating disorder program. I've done Weight Watchers on and off. I've had a personal trainer. I still have. I have a lot of knowledge. I've done a lot of deep therapeutic work. But I'm really still struggling to implement the practical aspects of it.
Okay. So I have a question for you. It's really a deep one. Why do you think that things that work for others, you know, that's why they've got that outpatient program and all the things. Why do you think they work for others, but you haven't been able to utilize them for relief for yourself? What do you think might be the source of that? Any thoughts there?
I'm not really sure. And like intellectually, I can't like carry it out. I think I'm just carrying too many. I'm under a lot of stress. Emotionally, a lot of stress. Financially, just like a lot of stuff, and it's easier, and I just keep doing what I've always done.
You know, let me ask you this. When you finish with whatever thing you're trying, whether it's Weight Watchers or outpatient program, isn't it true that you stop getting with the people, connecting in groups of people? Isn't that really where it all falls apart? You just don't go.
I think that's part of it, but I think it's a practical matter of, you know, you work all day, commuting 2 hours, you go home, you're tired, and you just go for what's easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see,
support's definitely an issue.
You know what we call that? We call that the fatal excuse. And all of us who struggle and continue to struggle, we have a really amazing excuse that kills any potential for transformation. So I call it the fatal excuse. And so yours is, well, I'm worked, I'm tired, I've been in traffic, I just can't go, versus I've worked, I'm tired, I've been in traffic. When I get to that meeting, I'm going to get a second wind, and I'm going to have some new strength and courage and motivation to continue on the same path. So I would just say that you probably have developed plans, but you just quit doing them. And boy, we would love to help you continue to do the things that have worked. That's really where this all gets better, is when you never stop doing the healthy stuff.
But Steve, I think you're on to something, because it's like, and you do put in the time to do these things, but then all on your own, it becomes non-relational.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to do those things. And somehow, Anne, you've not made yourself a priority or self-care, because you're stressed out. You don't have time in your schedule for self-care. And I really understand that, because grabbing candy and cookies is really easy, and it's quick, and it fills you up, and it makes you, it kind of gives you the illusion that you've had a meal. And yet you haven't had a meal. And when you're maxed out, it's hard to think of, you mean I have to cook? I have to go and buy all these fresh ingredients and cook and do all these things? That is really time consuming. And so it's easier to run through fast food, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the easy way out, no doubt.
So there has to be, and so if that's not natural for you, and I get it, because cooking isn't, I'm not a big cook, okay? So it's not natural for me either. So I had to have an intervention of someone else who was willing to partner with me and do some of the parts that I don't like. And I know if you live alone, that's really hard. But it's finding ways to partner, and that's where our program comes in, where we're, you know, teaching you and partnering with you on some of these things. But there has to be a shift for you emotionally and then a shift physically to make the changes. And so getting on your same treadmill isn't going to do it. So I bet you there are things in your life other than your eating that are unhealthy and that are lacking in self-care. And that might be a place to start.
And Anne, when we have the right information, but we can't apply it, we usually need an increased influx of grace. We need people in our lives, loving people more frequently who will support and encourage us. And you have an impressive list of all that you have done. So it's hard to imagine ramping up the frequency. But sometimes we need seasons of daily contact with people who will encourage us and love on us. And I also want you to try the 3-minute exercise, which is where you put your shoes on, you stand outside your front door for 3 minutes. That's all you do. The first time, and maybe the second and third time. But once you've gotten yourself out that far, you're so much likelier to take a couple steps down the block, and you build off of that.
Nice. Very nice. All right. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the next program. It's coming right up after this. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us for Lose It for Life this weekend. This program has proved, we've got pictures of people standing in one leg of the pants that they used to wear. I mean, that's how dramatic things can be. If you have this one thing that changes everything, and that is willingness. Willingness. And right now, you have to be willing to make a phone call to see if this is going to be a good thing for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. And you're going to be surprised. Michelle Spadafora handles all of the physical part and the nutritional part, but I have to tell you, she's one of the most solidly spiritual people that you'll ever meet in your life. And it's just always a treat to work with Michelle. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She integrates spirituality into the exercises in a way that draws in God, and it elevates the entire experience. It's very fun, and it's very invigorating.
Yes, and she also can field dress an elk. There are not many people that can do that, and so that qualifies her as a food expert. She eats what they kill. You're going to love it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, you know, don't forget, coming up, we've got an amazing Every Man's Battle workshop. We do it every single month, and that's on April the 8th. You know, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Hey, can you beat wisdom? Can you beat godly wisdom? I don't think so. Ask God for it and then live according to it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.